Insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his property. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it is area code 914-803-4131. That is 914-803-4131. You can also join us in the LiberalDanRadio.com chat room over on YouTube. That is LiberalDanRadio.com or YouTube.com/LiberalDanRadio. Either way, we'll get you there. You can also, if you're watching after the live broadcast, you can leave your comments, questions, concerns over on the show thread at LiberalDan.com, Facebook.com/LiberalDanRadio, message me over on or comment on LiberalDanRadio on Twitter, or you could always come to LiberalDanRadio.com as well and leave your comments on the thread too. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, it's best to just come on and join over on YouTube, simply because of the fact that later on in the show, we will be reacting to some of Joe Biden's videos, and you won't be able to hear the audio or see the video via Blog Talk Radio, so it's just best to go ahead and do that. I typically just use Blog Talk Radio for taking phone calls and as a way to have an easy soundboard to use.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Shouts out to the Mod Squad, Aaron West and Jolie. Thank you very much. Also, hello to Bicycle Mike, Trucker John, Marie, Steve. Who else is in the chat so far? Thank you all for hopping in. Jeff Curry, good to see you again. I know Jeff has previously shared the links. Jolie, do you still have the link to Jeff Curry's son's band? If you do, give the son's band another link. If not, shoot me an email, Jeff, liberaldanradio@gmail.com. I want to just give your son's band another plug on the show. So just, you know, wanting to spread the love. I'm in a good mood simply because of the fact that I felt a little under the weather today, but I'm feeling better now. But, you know, I'm very happy about the fact that we made partner. We're doing what we need to do over on Twitch, which is awesome. I'm very, very appreciative so far. We're getting there. We're chugging along. We're a week in, and I already have 17 followers. I need to hit 50 by the end of the month. I'm thinking we'll get there. We're hitting the viewer. We're already at 3.4 viewers on average, which we only need three, so we're hitting the average viewer requirements. So if things go well, we'll hit affiliate over on Twitch in a month as well, and then I'll be monetized in both places, which will be pretty darn awesome. If you haven't followed me, thank you, Jolie. You're awesome. Let's see, Aquatic, shouts out to you. Jackie, what's going on? We got a couple new videos that I posted today. I talked about last week how I was going to start a new video in the video two new video series, which is both the case for Joe Biden and the case against Donald Trump. And so we started today off with the case for Joe Biden. And of course, we started off with my favorite topic, which is student loans. And so we did I know I said I was going to make it a 3-minute video or so. I went a little long, made it 5-minute videos, but it had a little intro on it on top of it as well. So, so there we go. We started off with that. If you are a Liberal Dan Radio member, if you are one of the people who either paid for a membership here on YouTube, or if you were one of the lucky people who had memberships paid for you by, I believe Jolie and Jackie are the ones who were the ones that paid so generously for other folks to have your memberships for the month, you got early access as soon as it was posted. Otherwise, it went live at around 8 or 9 o'clock this morning-ish or so. We got 13 viewers and 7 likes. Make sure to smash that like button. Helps the algorithms make sure that more people see that we're live. It is Bicycle Mike's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bicycle Mike. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Anyway, so should I say give super chats for me to stop singing or for me to continue? can you get are they still doing that silly thing where you can get, you know, where somebody technically owns the rights to the happy birthday song and they might go after you for the happy birthday song? I don't know. The big 65, you don't look a day over 64. Speaking of copyright violations, though, I don't know if you missed, if you didn't see it, I got a copyright flag for playing the public domain video of Steamboat Willie for a minute or so on the show last week, which I'm highly amused by. But because I made a video, Disney versus Liberal Dan, it got like 800 something views, which is pretty darn awesome. So, I mean, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't harm me or whatever, but I just thought it was amusing. And I didn't include the paragraph that I wrote to whoever it is gets the appeal, I guess. And other people have since been reporting that they got flagged as well for sharing something that's in the public domain. But basically what I said in that video was, in the paragraph that I wrote was, this is public domain day. It was public domain day, and everybody was talking about how Steamboat Willie was in the public domain now. So everybody, including Disney, should know that this is in the public domain. But I'm going to provide you several links, including a link from ABC.com, which happens to be owned by Disney, saying that Steamboat Willie is in the public domain. So this is in the public domain, and I should not have a copyright warning for using it. So I'm not necessarily going to say that the rat is evil per se, but, and it might just be a stupid automated thing, which is one of the points I made in that video was just this. If you have an automated process that reports videos for having what you believe is copyrighted content, that there should be a human element that goes in and checks all of the flags just to make sure that it is not a false positive. Not a false positive. So that, you know, make sure that it's not like fair use, make sure that it's not, you know, some other form where it's like not parody, etc. Stuff like that. So, I know they're evil. I have friends who work for them. I mean, I know plenty of people who have worked for them as well. So, the Sun also told me they booked back-to-back shows February 9th and 10th. Second show will be acoustic. I'm going to do that one for sure. Where are the shows? That's awesome. That's good. Awesome to hear. Let's see. Oh, they decided the title yet, the Happy Birthday song, is public domain. Here. Oh, thank you, Jackie, for the tip for the singing. Thank you. Just the tip. Anywho. So, we got a lot of stuff going on. Also, if you noticed, I did post the breaking news from last night, or from yesterday. I posted it last night. I was out doing some nerdy stuff with my podcast. Not my podcast, but my nerdy stuff with one of the games I play. And it turns out that there was a scuffle or an altercation or a kerfuffle or something, allegedly, between Lauren Boebert and her ex-husband, Jason. And one of the most amusing things, the reason I had to go make the video and had to make it live immediately was the fact that the restaurant that the kerfuffle happened in was called The Miner's Claim. And with Jason Boebert's history of exposing himself to underage people, that he pled guilty to. There's no allegedly there. He pled guilty to it with his, thank you, Aaron. With his history of that, I was like, I had to make the joke of, well, you know, be sure that this restaurant spells it M-I-N-E-R-S, not the other way. And of course, he called the cops, supposedly. He said that he called the cops and claimed that she punched him in the nose. And I'm like, well, this isn't the first time that Lauren Boebert has beat off a guy in public. So, ba-dum-bum. But I needed to get the jokes out there first so that nobody else beat me to the jokes, because I thought the jokes were rather funny. Thank you, Bicycle Mike. Appreciate you as well. Shouts out to all of my, all these super chats. Loving the support that y'all are giving. That's very awesome. Thank you for that. So I have this thing here. Does it show? Will it show everything? Yeah, it's showing. There you go. And it is showing all the text that are scrolling right there. So there you go. You can see all the text right there. But it doesn't show up. It doesn't show the chat. It doesn't show, like, the super chats on this, so I have to figure out how to get that to work. So I haven't quite figured that out yet, which is pretty awesome. We're playing around with all the tools, and I believe it seems like, even though YouTube is saying that my bit rate is lower than what it appears, it does seem that my connections are better than what they were being last week. Does everybody in the chat agree that my connection this week is better than Wednesday? We're doing much better this time. We're not having as much problems. I think I was able to solve the problem without having to do anything with changing my internet or buying a new computer or anything like that, which is pretty awesome. Look at me being a software or being a computer nerd, because, you know, you would think that I could be a computer nerd since I am a computer nerd. Basically, when I it's not even the connection. The thing was that when I previously tried to upgrade OBS and when I previously tried to use the graphics card to try and process the video, it gave me all sorts of fits. But I looked into it. I dug down deep into the nitty-gritty. I got everything upgraded like it was supposed to, and I followed, dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. I was able to finally upgrade OBS, and so I could get the dual streaming in without having to pay. And then I was able to get the settings right so that I could use my graphics card to do the processing of this video instead of using my regular CPU, which then took the strain off of my system. So instead of my CPU, like, churning at, like, 60-something percent like it was last week, it's now my CPU is now going at, like, 2.3%. So we're good. We're no longer killing my system. So, hey, Pisces Greeter TK, good to see you. Thank you for joining. Kalahela, good to see you. Thank y'all for joining as well. Appreciate it. Yes, to support the show, again, all the other ways to support the show, we have lots of new ways to support the show now since we've finally made YouTube Partner. You could join various levels of membership on here by being a member, joining here on YouTube, liberalbaneradio.com. You can do super chats. You can gift subscriptions. You can buy me a cider. Go to liberaldan.com. Click the buy me a cider button. You could Venmo me at Venmo Liberal Dan, or just scan the QR code right over there. You can go to Twitch. If you have a Twitch account, if you don't have a Twitch account, you can make a Twitch account. And you can go to twitch.tv/liberaldanradio, and that will get me there as well. And shout out to TV2Live. And also you can go to all the great people who follow me. I have a TV2Live, Chuck John, all the other people who have channels, Benny Loco. Go support them as well. I'm sure most of you follow House Sparks. Go do House Sparks as well. Hey, Wonder Mom over on Twitch, thank you for joining. Appreciate you. If you haven't followed me already, go ahead and follow. I think you followed last time, I believe. So appreciate you for coming over, watching the show. It's excellent, as always. What more people, the more better it is, right? So before we talk about show and political stuff, two non-political things before we get to politics. After all of the show overhead or whatever. Hey, Cynthia, good to see you. First, I want to give a shout out to my wife, who I'm very proud of. My wife has celiac disease, and which means she can't handle gluten. There was a Facebook group that was run by somebody else who, for some reason, wanted to take it off of Facebook and put it on like an old like billboard or old message board type system, which didn't seem to make sense whatsoever. We didn't understand why. It didn't make any sense. And she didn't want to let anybody else have control of the old group either, which also didn't make any sense. And then she was moving away from New Orleans anyway, so why not let somebody else take over the reins of the New Orleans gluten-free group? We didn't understand it. So my wife, along with somebody else who we both know, who also has celiac, you know, and I also moderate the group, but it's my wife's child. It's her baby. She's made it, made this group Gluten-Free Crescent City. And she has already surpassed like 600 members in the group. It's growing. And what she's decided to do, what she decided to do with this group is she decided to, in concert with Broad Street Cider, the place where I always thought, where I talk about, where it's like, when if they buy me a cider, I'm not kidding. Like, I go to the cider place and I go buy ciders. So go to Broad Street Cider and we set it up to where in the parking lot, we could have vendors who sell gluten-free items. They could come out, and Broad Street Cider was like, Broad Street Cider didn't charge them anything to come out and set up their shop. My wife didn't charge them anything to set anything up. She was like, look, I just want y'all to be able to show all the people in the city who need gluten-free stuff to come to one place and be able to show off. These are all the people who will cater to your needs. And so she had so much response from the vendors that she was only going to have two people a week, and now she's having like at least four people most weeks. And this past Saturday was the first week, and it's just become so popular. Like, we had a line down the alleyway of people waiting for one of the vendors who was late, but that vendor just sold out and actually didn't even have enough stuff. But they were in good cheer. They seemed to be in good spirits, and the people who were there were also buying stuff from the other vendors, and they ended up buying cider and supporting the cidery. And so it was just good for everybody all around, and it's going on for the next 3 weeks at least. And so I'm just super proud of my wife for doing all of that and organizing all that and getting it all done. And, you know, just wanted to give her a big shout out on the podcast because she deserves it for all the hard work she puts in. Jeff, I don't know what gluten is, but I'm pretty sure I like gluten. It reminds me of the old John Pinette joke. John Pinette goes like, I don't know what gluten is, but it's delicious. One of the things is like, I don't need gluten-free stuff, but there is this one place on that's called Heavenly Hands Bakery that they're coming out like in two Saturdays from not this Saturday, but the next Saturday. Heavenly Hands Bakery makes these cinnamon buns, and they are just absolutely just delicious. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell. If they gave it to you and had the cinnamon bun, you would have no idea that it was gluten-free. And, hey, Elizabeth, what's going on? Also, I had a cookie. There was a cookie-making contest at work, and I made these cookies that had, like, these peppermint and chocolate chips or whatever, and it was, like, marshmallows and peppermint chips and chocolate chips, and I made them all up. And I put gluten-free on the thing just so people would know that these were gluten-free. And then somebody was like, turned her nose up at it. I was like, go give it a shot. I guarantee you, you're going to like it. And she took a side. She said, are you sure this is gluten-free? I'm like, absolutely positive. This is gluten-free. So those are delicious. And I was like, I know. And my wife said that my chocolate chip cookies are better than the ones that I had gotten her from the Heavenly Hands Bakery or whatever. But Heavenly Hands Bakery makes awesome other things. Like, she makes biscuits that you wouldn't tell that they were gluten-free biscuits. She makes all this other stuff, but I make damn good cookies. I make damn good regular cookies, too. I just can't cook them in my kitchen because our oven is dedicated gluten-free. So when I made chocolate chip cookies that were not gluten-free for the contest at work, I had to go bake them in our neighbor's oven, but no, because I, you know, want to protect my wife as much as possible, and loose flour flying around the kitchen is never a good idea. So, anywho, and actually, this is one of the Oh Sweet Lemon is one of the other vendors that showed up on Sunday, and so I'm having their strawberry lemonade, and it has the perfect amount of diabetes, and they're not paying me to plug their thing, but I'll still plug their lemonade anyway. It's another local, and she was a trip. She was hilarious. Anyway, see, what did Don say something? I don't know. Did I miss something in the chat? Oh, you had an ankle fracture. I'm so very sorry to hear that. Anywho, other non-political related thing. I don't know if anybody happened to see what happened at the end of the Saints-Falcons game yesterday. I mean, I'm a Saints fan, so I love the New Orleans Saints. The end of the Saints-Falcons game, there is the one of the running backs who led the NFL last year in touchdowns had zero touchdowns all this year. And the Falcons were still trying to score a touchdown even though the game was basically over. Falcons were still trying to score. They threw the ball. They threw it to Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. He picks off the ball. He's running, almost gets a pick six, almost gets a touchdown, gets brought down like right at the half-yard line. The coach of the New Orleans Saints tells the players, go into what they call the victory formation, where they all line up in like a little wedge, and usually when that happens, you take a knee. But the players who went out there were like, let's get our running back who hasn't gotten a touchdown all year a touchdown, and so they formed it in the victory formation, but handed the ball off and scored the touchdown and got him the touchdown, and everyone was like, ooh, the opposing coach is not going to be happy with that. And then if you did some lip reading when the coaches had met at midfield, you could see that the opposing coach was none too happy with that either. And the Saints coach apologized, and the Jameis Winston, who is the backup quarterback who was in for the play, was like, look, this is, I made the call. I asked everybody. It was a unanimous player decision. We wanted to give our player his touchdown because he didn't get a touchdown this year. There you go. And so, and there's been lots of various different opinions about whether or not they should or should have done that. My opinion is this. If you thought the game was over, then why were you still trying to score two plays before? Why didn't you take the knee and end the game there if you felt the game was over? You didn't feel the game was over. You were still trying to score. You were still trying to win. So now what? You're begrudging a guy for getting a score? Now, maybe it was, so what? It was a trick play? They did a trick play in the V formation? Are you going to cry when somebody does a fake punt? You're going to cry when somebody does a fake, you know, something else? It's silly. It is silly, silly, silly. Anyway. Anyway, so, and I would say this regardless of who it was. If the Falcons would have done it to us, I probably would have laughed. I laughed even harder simply because of the fact that, you know, it was the Falcons that we did it to, and we hate the Falcons. So, let's see. Yes. COVID from the Twitch chat. COVID is definitely making the rounds. And it sucks in Louisiana because in Louisiana, we have less people getting the flu vaccines, let alone the COVID vaccines. We got both. We got both flu and the COVID vaccines. We got the 1-2 shot back in like October or whatever because we were going to Disney and we're like, there's no way we're going to Florida not getting our COVID boosters and our flu vaccines, because hell no, we're not dealing with Florida man with all that. But yeah, it's the wild, wild west here in Louisiana, and it's going to be even worse because today is the first day of the Jeff Landry administration. The Landry administration. And remember what I said about the Landry administration. It's going to be the proof. I guess this is the Republicans' chance to put up or shut up. Because this, again, this isn't like Florida. This isn't like Texas. There is not a big enough city that can hold up Republican mistakes. You know, Florida's got Orlando, big economic driver. Miami, big economic driver, a big city. Texas has Houston, has Dallas, has Austin, San Antonio, big blue cities that hold up the rest of the state. New Orleans isn't that big. Like, we're maybe like a third Democrat, two-thirds Republican. We are a red can be state. The only reason why we had a Democratic governor for the last 8 years is because you had David Vitter, who got caught sleeping with hookers the first time around, and then you had Rasponi, who I don't know what they were thinking with him. But it's their chance to put up or shut up now. In my opinion, they're going to prove just how bad conservatism can be. And we're going to suffer for it because we live here in Louisiana. But they're already starting with their BS. And what do I mean that they are starting with their, excuse me, with their BS? Well, here's the Robert Mann blog. The battle over academic freedom of speech, academic freedom of free speech at LSU has never happened. LSU's president surrenders before shot is fired. LSU President Bill Tate emailed all faculty and staff on Friday with news that the university's Division of Inclusion, Civil Rights, and Title IX will now be known as the Division of Engagement, Civil Rights, and Title IX. No inclusion, just engagement. The term diversity has been banished from the school's vocabulary. In defense of this, Tate shared this incomprehensible gobbledygook. Engagement is defined in several ways. We use two forms of the definition. For us, it represents a two-way process that enables change on both sides. To fully deliver on the promise our flagship offers, we must engage with each other to exchange views and experiences and share potential solutions to our most pressing challenges. Second, engagement reflects a serious commitment. We must commit to find ways to translate our discoveries and talent to serve and elevate the state and its people. What? Allow me to translate this into English. Governor-elect Jeff Landry and his supporters in the legislature hate the idea of diversity, so we will keep going, doing what we're doing and disguise it as engagement. Landry and his acolytes are too dumb to notice. Later that day, Louisiana Illuminators Piper Hitchison shed more light on Tate's decision. University also removed the diversity statement from its official website, lsu.edu, although it is saved in the entirety on the Internet Archive. Also removed from LSU's website was a webpage for a lecture series at the Riley Center for Media and Public Affairs entitled Racism, Dismantling the System, that some conservative legislators opposed. Videos for the series that were previously posted on YouTube are no longer available. Changes were not isolated to the main campus. Similar language changes have occurred at LSU Alexandria. LSUA renamed its Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion to the Office of Civil Rights, Compliance, and Access. Adam Lord, a spokesperson for the Central Louisiana campus, has not yet responded to a request for comment. Set aside the serious free speech and academic freedom questions that must be addressed in the coming days, how dumb do LSU officials think Landry is? Well, I personally think he's rather frickin' dumb to his YouTube part of Pornhub, LOL. Let's see, how dumb do you, I think Landry is very dumb. He is, for somebody, I don't know how somebody that dumb got to be a lawyer, but then again, I've seen some lawyers that are pretty darn dumb. The whole thing is dumb and ham-handed. Faculty members, especially minority faculty, now know that Tate won't defend them. Landry knows that Tate is over-eager, in fact, to appease him. Landry also knows that Tate, as a black university president, is quite useful to him when a black president is the one banishing diversity from the university's lexicon. Landry and everyone around him can pretend they've done no serious damage to the school's reputation. Regardless, it is only the first step in a process of LSU's surrender to Landry's radical agenda to remake higher education. It's the second step. Earlier, the school announced it removed the state's longtime climatologist, Barry Keim, from his role because apparently he offended some well-connected farmers. Academic freedom at LSU is well and good until you offend some farmers or Jeff Landry. Believe me, I speak from experience on this. Here's the problem with all the capitulating. Bullies won't leave you alone when you give them what they want. Surrendering to them in advance, as Tate has done, doesn't make them go away. So this is the Internet Archives, the mission, vision, and diversity statement. Diversity statement, you know, because diversity is bad, apparently, to Republicans. Let's see, are we not going to be able to... Oh, I guess we can't see this story that he linked to because it's a paywall, LOL. So, anywho... So yes, that's what's going on. This is just day one at Louisiana State University, and what's going on at Louisiana State University as it pertains to Jeff Landry and the changes that he's going to be bringing. Yes, they've removed diversity and inclusion. Next, they're going to try and remove the diversity altogether, I suppose, right? So, let's see. So, I remember when Walter Payton didn't get the call in the Bears Super Bowl. Let's see, Chuck or John, you don't pull that crap in victory formation. That's totally Bush. I'd be pissed too. Yeah. It's the Falcons. I don't care. let's see. you miss when the Saints go marching in joke. I mean, I could. I mean, they played it after they scored, I'm sure. Interested in your opinion on the breaking news about Fannie Wells. Let me look. So I might have missed it by looking up others. Fannie Wells breaking news. Co-defendant alleges improper relationship between Fulton County DA Fannie Willis and Trump prosecutor in filings, offers no proof. One of Donald Trump's co-defendants in Fulton County election interference trial made a bombshell allegation late Monday claiming Fannie Willis has been involved in an improper romantic relationship with one of the top prosecutors in the case. Filing points no evidence and relies fully on sources close to both the special prosecutor and district attorney. The allegations remain in court filings for Michael Roman, a former top Trump campaign official who faces a slew of charges, including violating Georgia's RICO law. He alleges Willis is not only in a romantic relationship with Nathan Wade, but has also benefited financially from it. Filing goes on to claim, without citing evidence, that Wade paid for the pair to take cruises together and that they've traveled to Napa Valley, Florida, and to the Caribbean. Roman's attorneys say the relationship started prior to Willis appointing Wade to the role of special prosecutor. Willis also approves Wade's salary, which records show has totaled over $650,000 for the work in the DA's anti-corruption unit since November 2021. Based on the new allegations, Roman's legal team is seeking to get his charges dismissed on the grounds that the entire prosecution is invalid and unconstitutional. They also asked to disqualify Willis, Wade, Fulton County's DA office for prosecuting the case. The Fulton County's DF will respond to the allegations through appropriate court filings. Well, I mean, what else do we expect from Donald Trump and people involved with Donald Trump? Make wild claims and throw spaghetti on the wall and hope it sticks. Do I believe it? No, I won't believe it until they actually show evidence. Because this is what Donald Trump, this is what Republicans do. Like when Republicans, and I'm sure there are plenty of Republicans who are going to be like, see, this is corrupt, blah, blah, blah. Republicans read, if any of the Republicans heard, I don't know how many actually read The Boy Who Cried Wolf, but any of them who heard the story of The Boy Who Cried Wolf took the story of The Boy Who Cried Wolf and the lesson that they learned from it, what was not, don't lie, because if you lie a lot, people won't believe you. It's, if somebody lies, keep believing them, because one time they might tell the truth. So, I don't believe them. I absolutely don't believe the claims whatsoever as it pertains to that. And I am not going to, I don't think any time, more time should be spent on it until things come forward and they say, and there's actually evidence, because the proof is on them. The onus is on them to provide evidence of such a relationship. If they don't have any evidence of it, then why should we believe any of it? Simple as that. And even if there is such a relationship, maybe such a relationship would be legal, and then they could follow all of the legal and required rules of pertaining to such things as it pertains to the disclosure of such relationships to whoever their superiors might be, to whoever the ethics board might be, et cetera, or whatever. But in my mind, until we see the evidence, it's just a matter of them trying to throw crap on the wall. I wouldn't say spaghetti on the wall, but it's probably just more throwing crap on the wall just to try and see if anything will stick. And if they could just muddy the water, to mix the metaphors, and try and make it so that at least the people think that they're not getting a fair trial, regardless of whether or not they actually get convicted or not. So, I don't know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Exactly. If they had the goods, they would show it.
Wonder Mom. Absolutely. That 100% agree with you. If they had the goods, they would 100% show the goods. But they don't. They're just going to lie. It's just like Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani say all of stuff about how everything was corrupt, everything was terrible, everything was horrible when it came to his, you know, when it came to election fraud and election fraud this, election fraud that. And then what happened? He'd get in court and he couldn't say any of it because it was all untrue. It would all be a lie and he'd be disbarred. Well, he got disbarred anyway, but he would be found in contempt of court. He would get in trouble because what he was saying publicly couldn't be said in a court of law because it would be against the rules for him to do so. But he could say it publicly all he wanted to until he got to the point where he defamed those two young women, or not so young women because one of them was a little older, but those two election workers. He defamed them, and now they might own his townhouse at some point or his condo or whatever it is when they go after his property to get all the $100 million that he owes that can't be discharged in bankruptcy because that's not how it works, dude. Anywho. We also have speaking of Trump, though, we also have the Trump's implied threat to Kavanaugh. Alina Hababa, as Wonder Mom states in the Twitch chat. Example of a dumb lawyer. And there's plenty of examples of dumb lawyers coming from Alina Hababa. And, you know, saying the part out loud, addressing the Supreme Court's looming 14th Amendment case on whether or not Donald Trump can be disqualified, Hababa decided it would be a good time to remind people of just how much Trump has done for Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I think it should be a slam dunk in the Supreme Court. I have faith in them, Hababa said on Fox News. You know, people like Kavanaugh, who the president fought for, who the president went through hell to get into place, he'll step up. What does that mean? Hababa quickly added a disclaimer that justices will step up not because they're pro-Trump, but because they're pro-law, because they're pro-fairness. And since she's done some cleanup work trying to ensure audiences that she wasn't suggesting that Kavanaugh owed Trump loyalty, although most of Trump's supporters would believe that Trump and Barrett and Gorsuch all owe Trump loyalty, because of course they do. Because you have many of the people who are Trump supporters who, you know, when I shared that just the clip about Trump saying that he wanted to be a dictator on day one, when I shared that, all the little Trump supporters are like, sounds like a great idea, sounds like a plan, looking forward to it. Like, they don't care. They want that sort of leadership from Donald, from Hair Donald. So, anyway, so yeah. But if there's such a thing as witness tampering and jury tampering, there should be such a thing as justice tampering. But then again, there was a case where, I don't know, like somebody sued, like, from New Jersey, like sued a whole bunch of people about the constitutionality of the passage of Dobbs v. Jackson, saying that Roe versus Wade should still be the law of the land, and what happened in this particular case was that all six conservative justices just were named in the lawsuit, so they basically were like, okay, well, since we're named in the lawsuit, we're going to sit out. We're sitting out of this decision making as to whether or not we're going to hear this or not. And since they didn't have a quorum because they all set out, they couldn't hear the case. They couldn't decide whether or not they're going to hear it or not. So the decision rested with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, in which case, which upheld the law. So it was kind of dumb to name the Supreme Court justices in the case. Dummy. I did email Elizabeth, Jolie, I did email Elizabeth one thing about how you should try to do it from a browser and not do it from the app and like try and open desktop mode, but I didn't check my email again after I gave that recommendation. So, cause there is a problem sometimes trying to join things, using, if you have an iPhone, like for an example, speaking of like joining and becoming a member of certain things, if you have an iPhone app, like for example, if somebody is an affiliate on Twitch, and you're trying to use your Amazon Prime membership to follow them or to become a member of their or to subscribe to their channel for free using their Amazon Prime, you can't do it using your iPhone because they don't enable that functionality with the Twitch app on the iPhone. You have to do it via a browser. So if you have an iPhone, apparently trying to join and become, I think, because the iPhone store requires that any purchases that you're making, it requires you to spend, I think, more of the money or share more of your money with Apple. So Google's like, nope, we don't want to do that. So we're not gonna pay you more money to join. So you have to do it another way. Or something. Yes, the iPhones are not YouTube friendly. Anywho. But yeah, nobody should be surprised that Kavanaugh was given that quiet part out loud threat by Habba. I think he's saying Hababa, but Alina Habba. Nobody should be surprised at that, and nobody should be surprised that any other ones get those veiled threats anytime in the near future as the case gets closer, because, you know, I'm sure Trump supporters are going to be very vocal about how they will feel about any Supreme Court justice who makes the ruling that whether or not about who, if they would make a ruling that would keep Trump off the ballot. Of course, I don't think that they're going to rule that Trump's going to be off the ballot. I think they're going to – I'm in my prediction about how they might rule, and it may very well be a ruling. And I see you. I think that's Khalil. I see you. Hold on a second. I made my prediction that they would probably rule something to the effect of how when you're voting for president, you're voting for electors. You're not voting for the candidate themselves, so therefore you can't do that. But we were going to actually go through the legal – I was actually going to go through some of the legal arguments that was made by Trump or that was posted by Trump last time, and I didn't get the opportunity to do it last show. So maybe we'll do that after we take Khalil's call. Before we get to Khalil's call, though, there is the one interesting thing. When it comes to that plane incident that happened, apparently they found on the plane, they found some examples of their Boeing, like was it 737s, with some loose bolts by the doors, with the one door that fell open. So, yeah, maybe it's time to go start checking some of your bolts on your airplanes, airliners. If you're an airline, go check some of your bolts. Make sure they're all tightened pretty well so no doors fly off your planes. Might be a good thing to do. Anyway, good evening.
Hello.
How are you tonight? How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. What's going on tonight, Khalil?
Nothing much. I found out some news. There's an office, a guy that's going to be retiring as a police officer. He is not a nice guy. And he's running for school board in the county not too far from me. And matter of fact, I had anxiety one time. And basically, most of the officers I deal with are pretty good people. Most officers are pretty good people anyway. And they called the CIT trained officer because I was, like, harming myself and all that stuff. And he came in with this attitude of, Khalil, you got to leave these people alone. Get your stuff and get out. And they never said I was bothering them. They were more concerned about my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And his boss said, you know, he didn't do anything. I mean, both his boss and the sergeant said they didn't see where he did anything wrong. But basically, it was a call for help, and he acted like he didn't want to be bothered.
Mm. And now he's running for school.
Huh?
And now that guy's running for school board.
Yep.
Nice. Gotta love it. You know, so now he's... Yeah, go ahead.
I was told Carmen's gonna come back to bite him for what he did to me from a few people.
Hmm.
I was told even if he got away with it with the police department, he's not gonna get away with it with God or like with the universe. I was told you can't be doing stuff like that to people and then be getting away with it.
I mean, well, you can always find out who he's running against and tell your story to his opponent and see if the opponent, you know, wants to, you know, allow you to tell your story. It's always that.
Yeah, I might do that. Because because he basically, if I badmouth him once he's off the force, he can't really do anything to hem me up.
Well, I mean, unless he has allies on the force. Just consider that, I guess.
Yeah.
So if he still has allies in the force, you don't want them messing with you. But, you know, just consider that as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, basically, it's a shame that my mom didn't like the fact that they didn't do anything about the way he talked to me.
Right. Well, you know, thin blue line, all that
yep.
BS pertaining to thin blue line.
It's not as bad with this department as it is other departments, so that's why mm-hmm. I was really disappointed at what happened.
Right.
But basically, that makes me not want to call the police for any type of help unless I have a particular officer's card or unless I'm calling one of my friends. Like, you remember that federal agent guy I told you I met?
Right.
Yeah, I would rather get a card from him if I don't get a specific officer's card. That way,
right.
In case someone tries to pull something like that, they won't be able to get away with it. What can I do about his opponent? I mean, what could I do about him if he's running for school board?
Well, I mean, like you could. Did he already qualify? Like, his qualification started or not or no?
Probably so, but basically,
like,
that's what.
You could always look up on the like if qualification's over, you could always look up on the Secretary of State's website and see who he's running against, and then find out who his opponents are, and then talk to his opponents and see, you know, if any of them are worth helping, and if any of them are worth helping, you know, tell them your story and say, hey, this is what he did to me as a cop, and is that, you know, something you want to tell, and, you know, whatever, and then et cetera. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he ran for independent. He's running against another independent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't really know. You got to figure out who, because who knows, maybe it's always possible that the person is worse. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would look it up. But basically, like, yeah, I was basically floored when that happened. I'm like, man, I cannot, I don't know what I can do, because I couldn't have someone basically doing that stuff to me. And
yeah.
Then basically their bosses let them get away with that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have a whole bunch of horrible people joining school boards trying to, if he's that bad of a person, he's probably sounds like the, could very well be the type of person who would be those ones who wants to, you know, ban books and, you know, get rid of all the other, you know, stuff that all your conservatives want to get rid of, right?
Right. Yeah. He might be a fake independent if he's doing that, because it's like under it, it's saying independent.
Right.
Yeah.
And depending on whether or not and Ken QB in our chat brought up on YouTube, if there's, depending on how he got on the ballot, if he had to get on via signatures versus getting on via just paying a fee, like, to get on, if you could always try and have the signatures challenge.
Right.
Getting picked off the ballot.
I'm gonna do that. The thing is, I will do that, but because I don't want him to do people wrong in Nelson, even though I don't live in that area, but that's what I'm going to do, because I wouldn't want him to do that to anybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he didn't get on the ballot right, you never know. You know, if he didn't get on the ballot right, he didn't get on the ballot right. But, you know, yeah, if he's going to abuse power as a cop, or if he's not going to do what his responsibilities are as a cop, I mean, he's unlikely to do what he's supposed to do as a school board member as well. So, if he doesn't pass the smell test in one, is unlikely to be a good servant of the people in the other. So, I mean, go with your gut and do what you feel needs to get done. Just make sure to be safe about it. You know what I mean?
I will. Well, I'll talk to you another time. I'll still listen to you.
All right, great. Thank you so much. You have a good rest of your night.
You too.
All right. I don't see Wes in the chat. There is another caller on the line. If you are on hold, go over to liberaldan.com, which is the YouTube channel, youtube.com/liberaldanradio, and just leave your name and stuff in the chat just to let us know who you are so I can know where you're calling from and stuff like that so we can do a little pre-screen. Otherwise, we're just going to continue talking about the topics at hand. So, hey, Alarazia, what's going on? Good to see you. Let's see. So nice seeing all the green in the chat. That's awesome. Just to see all that green. All the memberships. Anywho, let's go ahead and we are going to bring up, where's this video? Every time I ask somebody this, I think come in and go to the YouTube channel to get screened, and then all of a sudden they hang up, which makes me think that was the correct decision to not pick up that call, because that means that they were probably not calling in to do something good. They were probably calling in to do, like, to ask the fish stick question or something worse, because, you know, people suck. Anyway. Let's go ahead and bring this up here. And while we're at it, this is being stupid. And let's switch to here. And we can go ahead and start watching. We're going to just basically kind of just go over and listen to Joe Biden's speech from earlier today and just see I saw part of it. I didn't see all of it. I know he got heckled some, and we'll deal with the heckling a bit as well. But I didn't get to watch all of it. So some of this will be new to me. I don't know how many of y'all watched it as well, but let's just see what he had to say. See, there you go. What just happened? I don't know what just happened there. I'm getting some whatever. But that's hysterical. I mean, that's funnier than Donald Trump has ever been. I rest my case. There you go. Oh, thank you, Jackie, again. You're awesome. I appreciate you so much. Ken QB, there is footage of the Boebert incident, her punching the ex, allegedly. See, I'm seeing, like, there was, as I said in my video that I posted last night, you know, that, like, this isn't the first time that Boebert was claimed to have beat off a guy in public. And, of course, the first time she denied it, and then it was shown that she was actually behaving inappropriately in private. And then you had a situation of, you know, this one, and is there going to be, we're going to wait to see what happens with this. will then see the issue of whatchamacallit. Now, of course, we got this going. Anyway, now it's going again. Let's see if we can get this working again. All right. Back to the alternate. Anyway, so is the footage publicly available, Ken? Or is it just the fact that people are saying that there is footage of it? Anyway, let's go back to Biden. Or now we're going to get interruptions again. There we go. Shocker. Such a shock. I said, for some reason, conservatives don't understand this, but, you know, hey. Now my downloading seems to be having a problem, not my upload. Before the concern. What's wrong with being a white person and being supreme? And see, here you go. Joe Biden so far has been giving a speech, and he's been talking for minutes now, and no fumbling, no bumbling, nothing. Like, this is a much more eloquent speech than Donald Trump has ever given. But yet, they're going to find ways to mock him. Well, no stutter because, you know, Biden has worked his entire life to work on his stutter, but he still has a stutter. He just has worked on ways to make sure that he can avoid doing one, either by crafting his sentences properly or just working on ways to deal with it. He still has it. He just has dealt with it properly, and he doesn't need to say person, woman, man, camera, TV. That's another thing. You will never see Donald Trump show emotion. Never once will Donald Trump ever show any sort of emotion. Like, if Don Jr. were to somehow pass away, Donald Trump would not cry. He would not show any sort of emotion like Biden is here showing right now for Beau. You would never see it. Not even Ivanka. He might cry if he loses all his money. Thank you. compassion. This is compassion, not something that Donald Trump has. This is the difference between the two men. Difference, not just between the two men that are going to be running for president against each other, because that's just who it's going to be. It's the difference between the two parties. Compassion. And he, instead of trying to talk over the people who were upset and angry about the fact there's no ceasefire currently over in Israel, he just, you know, let them have their say. Which, you know, he's not going to try and talk over the people who are passionate about their issue. Donald Trump would have threatened to have, would have said, hey, somebody go punch that person in the face, and then would have offered to pay for their attorneys. Of course, he wouldn't have paid for their attorneys, but he would have said he would have paid for their attorneys. But that's great. Them drowning out the people who were trying to drown him out by all saying 4 more years, which, you know, shows that, you know, most of the people who were there to support Joe Biden and not try and get over. My point with the ceasefire people is this, and I made a video about this, and my point still stands. I'd love a ceasefire. I would love to see a ceasefire over there. What do you do about the hostages? If you have a ceasefire, where do the hostages go? Are Hamas going to give up the hostages if there's a ceasefire? I don't think they would. Are Hamas going to give up the people who perpetuated the acts on 10/7? They're going to give up their leaders? You know, I don't think so. Again, I disagree with how Israel is fighting this war. I disagree with how Israel is going after Hamas. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. But the idea that to expect Israel to have a ceasefire when Israeli citizens are still being held hostage, and it's not just Israeli Jews that are being held hostage, there are Israeli Muslims who are being held hostage as well. Israeli citizens who are Muslims are currently being held hostage by Hamas. What is Israel supposed to do? Just give up on them? It's unreasonable for to demand a ceasefire without any sort of demands on Hamas to give up the hostages. It's unreasonable to expect Israel to have a ceasefire without the hostages being returned at the very least. Is that Bernie? I think that's Bernie in the middle. And again, that's what I've been saying since day one. What I've been saying since day one is that from what I know of Joe Biden, from what I've witnessed of Joe Biden and how he does politics versus how the last guy does politics, because the last guy did politics and did diplomacy. Everything was out in front. Everything was loud. All the dirty laundry was spilled for everybody to see. Meanwhile, Joe Biden would do things, you know, with more tact, maybe use back channels to try and have those conversations. But also, from what I know of Joe Biden, from what my grandparents told me of Joe Biden, was that he is a kind, honorable, decent human being who would want to end the fighting as soon as possible, and that he would try and do so in a way that would be calm and rational and civil. So he would go to try and do it in a way that would not harm the alliance with Israel, but would also be pushing for the saving of as much lives as possible, which is why we got the temporary ceasefires so that we could have hostages released and food and water, everything and supplies going into those areas. But unfortunately, some people don't want to see him like that, and it's their right to do so. Tim, what is Israel doing to get the hostages with their current actions? Again, I disagree with how Israel is currently fighting this war, but Israel is going to continue the justification of going after Hamas because Hamas has the hostages, and they're going to continue to go after Hamas until Hamas releases the hostages. It's unreasonable to tell them that they can't go after Hamas. And they should be able to go after Hamas. They just should be doing it in a different way. The targeted strike against the one Hamas leader, that's fine. I have no problem with that. The one that was in Beirut, that's fine. As long as, you know, because that's a targeted strike. That's not using dumb bombs and carpet bombing an entire neighborhood just to take out somebody, just to take out one person. But again, you can't just say ceasefire and then forget about the hostages. Hold on. Yeah, Kimchi, they use their kindness against him as if it is weakness. Exactly. Both sides do it. The people who are the extreme leftists who don't like that he's not being loud about it are mad at him because he's not doing things. Like there's one guy I was having a debate with on TikTok. We all know how he feels about that, whatever. And this guy was like, the Democrats need to do something. It doesn't matter if they fail. I'm like, what? Why would Democrats waste time doing something and fail when they could actually spend time working on things that will succeed? Doesn't make any sense. A friend of mine from gaming that I play nerd games with, he's actually a really intelligent person, even though we disagree politically. He also teaches people how to do chess, how to play chess statewide in Louisiana. And one of his favorite things to say when we're playing a game is there's a difference between doing something and accomplishing something. This guy would want Biden to be out there yelling at Netanyahu, even if it didn't do anything. Meanwhile, Biden would rather try and work the back channels and get something accomplished, even if it's not visible optically that he's doing something in the public's eye. At the end of the day, what you'll see at the end of the day, you'll eventually see it. So, but then on the other side, you know, because you're not being all manly, man, rough type of person, they view that as weakness too, which is stupid because sometimes you gotta be political or diplomatic is the word I was looking for. And of course, Never seen the American parents. Hold on. Biden can only financial arm twist Netanyahu, and Biden is getting financial arm twisting Republican Party. This is by far more complex than most pundits will ever understand. That's also true. And one of the things that I was positing, again, is that if we defund Netanyahu, that takes the that means Netanyahu has no more reason to listen to us. And Netanyahu has the leash taken off, and he can do whatever the heck he wants to at this point. Whereas, if we continue funding Netanyahu, we can at least assert that we have some right to have a say over what he's doing. But they don't want to listen to that either. Even Prager University, the extremely hardline right-wing Prager University, has a video that says the Civil War was about slavery, and that's it. That's the only video from Prager U I will share, because they get it 100% spot on, dead on balls accurate. Good night, Aquatic. Good to see you. Thank you for joining. Of course, yes, a peaceful protest that, you know, bashed cops over the head and bashed cops' heads and doors and shot bear spray at the cops and, you know, all that stuff. Do nothing. He did throw ketchup against the wall, apparently. That's where the Republicans are going to be like, see, he stuttered. He can't put together a sentence just because he had one stutter. This has been a great speech throughout this last, 20 minutes or so now. He's been speaking eloquently and wonderfully and great. Much better than anything Donald Trump has done in the past 10 years. But they're going to mock Joe Biden. Give me a frickin' break. Nice. It is what it is. Not just erase history in the Capitol, but erase history everywhere, like in LSU, as we talked about before, where they're scrubbing the website of anything about diversity. As I said, This is who Donald Trump calls Sleepy Joe Biden, this animated person right here, this person who is boisterous and animated and active about this topic. Yeah, go F yourself, Donald Trump. And that's one of the things that the leftists were driving me nuts about. Where's the 2000? Because they campaigned on 2000, and at like the end of December, they got 600, so then they followed through and gave the rest of the 2000, and they gave a check for 1400. But they said 2000. Yes, 600 and 1400 is 2000. But they said 2000. Stop being pests. I wouldn't say that Trump gave 600. It was a bipartisan bill that was passed. Like, the Democrats controlled the House, so the Democrats passed it. I don't know why YouTube is having these problems with loading this video so slow to download. Said that I'm going to have probably more and more videos on student debt as it comes through, as my student loans get adjusted, and I figure out how much fewer loan payments that I have to make after they do my adjustment. I'm going to do a video on that, or I'll come on the show and talk about that some more. But I mean, $32,000 is how much money I'm saving because of Joe Biden's save plan, let alone what I talked about in the video, all the other stuff I talked about in the video in the case for Joe Biden that I posted today. Share the hell out of that one. Definitely smarter than Alito, that's for darn sure. Cynthia, he's so ready for this Pride 2024. And then I think this speech will let everybody know that he is ready and he's ready to kick his ass. Like, everyone's like, you know, is he too old? No. He is just fine. He will do just fine in kicking Trump's ass yet again. As long as the voters don't get stupid. There you go. There you have it. Our president of these United States. Oh, you're welcome. I was able to show you the whole speech. But and there's something with him getting energized like that in front of that group. It actually brought me back to when I ran for Congress in 2004. One of my campaign stops was a candidate forum that was held at a local church. And I was the only candidate from my race that showed up. And there was another candidate from, I think, the District 3 race that showed up. And he was a good guy. He wasn't going to win. I wasn't going to win either. But the... there's something. If you get like the people, the parishioners at a church behind you, and they start just agreeing with you and nodding their heads and they start going like and it just start agreeing with you, there is something energizing about that, and it pumps you up. It gets you going. If you have that audience behind you, it starts getting you going. It starts making you getting you just pumped and excited, and it gives you energy. It gives you just zeal almost. Like, so you can kind of see it as the people were cheering Biden in that video. You could see that he was getting the energy from the audience, and it was energizing him up as well. So, yeah, I ran for Congress way back in 2004. It was a big learning experience. it was interesting. Back in 2000, before the 2000 election, I was starting to really get involved, interested in politics at least, and I was like, you know. I would love to run for Congress, but the person who was the congressperson in the district I was living in was David Vitter, the guy who eventually, you know, got caught up with prostitutes and ran for governor and lost. But he was very popular in my district, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to beat David Vitter. So I promised myself as soon as he decided to move on to the Senate, because everybody kind of knew that at some point he would move on to the Senate. Once that happened, I told myself that I would go run for the seat. And I ran for the seat, seismic in the Twitch chat goes, Joe Biden is not my president. So you're not an American? Are you saying that you don't live in America? You're not an American, seismic, or are you saying that are you renouncing your American citizenship? Hilarious. Hey, Ali the Flea, what's going on? Good to see you. Thank you for joining, Ali the Flea. Conversely, in the YouTube chat, Ali the Flea goes, I'm riding with Biden 2024. A good man. Please send Ukraine what they need to win this, Joe. Absolutely. Unfortunately, it's not up to just simply Biden to get it done. Biden needs the Congress to be able to get that done as well. Seismic, you're not American. Well, there you go. Well, then, clearly, I mean, okay. So that would explain why Joe Biden is not your president. Where are you from, Seismic? Is it Seismic? Seismic? Is it just Seismic with an extra H? The South. Oh, one of those citizen sovereigns? Are you a sovereign citizen, Seismic? Is that what you are? Are you a sovereign citizen? Kind of. What do you mean, kind of? Were you born an American citizen, given a social security number, and have you kind of rejected that, or were you not born an American citizen, but you live in the South? See, too bad the newspaper got your party wrong twice. Exactly. I'm glad you remember that, Cynthia. I don't know if that would have helped me win at all. I don't know. It might have gotten me more votes. I don't know, but because I'd lived in a very conservative district. I ran in a very conservative district. So, and though it did lose me a vote, I don't know if it gained me any votes or not. I live in the south of the world. Also, your southern hemisphere. So are you an Aussie type of south? Twitch troll, maybe. I don't know. Perhaps a Twitch troll. Perhaps, just, I don't know. Planet Q, I think. That's funny, because the job of Congress is to pay for funding for whatever we expend. The House of Representatives, all funding bills have to come from the House, including funding for Israel, including funding for... And it's interesting. I'm wondering if the Republicans who are thinking of not funding Israel, if they're thinking that if they don't fund Israel, if that would mean that Israel could then feel free to just do whatever they want, if that's why they're not going to fund Israel. I don't know, maybe. That's an interesting... If we were to take my argument as our funding of Israel keeps the leash on Israel, then maybe the Republicans are like, well, if we don't fund Israel, then the leash comes off and Israel can do whatever the hell they want to do. That might be an interesting way to consider that. I don't know. John McClure, 5 minutes sucks, six, what, 5 minutes six, what? See, Big Hook, an Afghan once told me it's easier to control the population when everyone's on the verge of starvation. If they get too much food, they'll get ideas of change, maybe. Let's see. So show break again as we're there, since we're about almost 10 p.m. my time. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, every Monday and Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central. LiberalDanRadio.com, which brings you to the YouTube channel, or you go to twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio as well. If you haven't followed the Twitch channel, it's twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio, and we're looking to get up to 50 followers by the end of the month so we can become an affiliate over here on Twitch as well. Since we're already a partner, to support the show, you can like the video over here on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, you can send super chats, you can join as a member, various levels of memberships, you can buy memberships for other users as well. You can go to LiberalDan.com, click the Buy Me a Cider button, and buy me one or more ciders. You can Venmo me at LiberalDan at Venmo. You can Cash App me at NerdyDan, too. I'm NerdyDan on Cash App now. There you go. And you can also go to NerdyDan.com and click Buy Me a Cider there, too, if you want to buy NerdyDan a cider. So... all the different ways you can do that, but you can also go to the channel on YouTube. There's lots of non-live videos over there that I post. I'll keep posting. Share those videos, like the videos, comment on the videos, interact with people, get the algorithms going, etc. Seismic goes, Israel is committing serious attacks against humankind. Now look, on this channel, if this is your first time watching, hey, human FBing, good to see you here on Twitch. Thank you. If this is your probably first time watching my videos, my channel, most of my videos are on YouTube, but one of the things that I have talked about with Israel is I have spoken out against Israel's actions and how they are going after Hamas. I disagree with how they go after Hamas. I think that they are doing indiscriminate bombing. I think that I disagree with the settlements. I was very vehemently against them shutting off access to food and water and electricity. I don't believe in collective punishment. There is a difference between people who are Hamas and people who are Palestinians. I believe in a free Palestine. I believe that the Palestinian people living in Gaza and the West Bank should be able to have their own government and should be able to, you know, self-rule and should not have Israeli interference in any way. Problem is Hamas and Hamas attacks on 10/7, and Hamas attacks people, kidnapped people, raped people, killed people. And Israel is going to go after Hamas. Now, they're doing it wrong, and I'll say that again. They're doing it wrong. But the idea that, you know, people calling for a ceasefire for Hamas or against Hamas and who are not also at the same time calling for the hostages to be released, it's unrealistic. You can't expect Israel to stop doing what they're doing, even if they're doing it wrong, to just completely have a ceasefire if you don't get the hostages back. Yes, they were attacked first. Now, see, put yes to. Yes, there's arguments that are made by the people who are very anti-Israel and who will make the arguments that Israel has been doing things since before 10/7, and as such, the Hamas apologists are going to make the argument that what Hamas did was a reaction to what Israel has done and yada, 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 back and forth. So, and just as Seismic just said, Israel chose violence before 10/7. And I have a whole bunch of videos on liberaldanradio.com going into the creation of Israel, going into, why Israel was created, not on Zionism, but on global anti-Semitism. Israel was created on the idea that nobody else wanted the Jews who were fleeing from, you know, Europe and who were just dealt the major blow on the Holocaust, from the Holocaust. Nobody else wanted them in their country. So the world basically said, okay, let's split up the area that was surrounded by Lebanon, the Dead Sea, Jordan River, Red Sea, Sinai Peninsula, and the Mediterranean. We're going to split it up into two lands. We're going to call it Palestine. We're going to call it Israel, and we're going to make one for the Jews. We're going to make one for the Palestinians, and boom, there you go, done. And that's what happened, because they didn't want to have the Jews live anywhere else. So let's just dump the Jews there. And then the Arab nations all across the Middle East were basically like, okay, well, we don't want the Jews living here anymore, so we're going to take all of their wealth, all of their businesses, all of their property, and then those Jews had to flee, and they had nowhere else to flee, so they also had to go to Israel, and they attacked. And they attacked Israel, and Israel defended itself successfully. When Israel defended itself successfully, the West Bank and Gaza were still a thing. Israel didn't take over the West Bank and Gaza in 48. Jordan took over the West Bank and Egypt took over Gaza. Did Jordan give back the West Bank and Egypt give back Gaza to the Palestinian people? Nope. They kept it for 20 more years. Why? Why didn't Jordan and Egypt give those lands back to the Palestinian people as they were given to them from the UN charter? The UN plan, the partition plan, so to speak. Because the partition plan was a compromise, and the thing about compromises is, you know, everybody loses things in a compromise, but it was trying to get done to, you know, make everybody less miserable as possible. But, you know, it happens. It happens where it was crappy what happened to the Palestinians. Okay. It was also crappy what's happened to the Jews across the Middle East as well. And then when, you know, the Arab nations kept attacking and kept attacking and kept attacking, and the Jews were tired of being attacked, or the Israelis were tired of being attacked, and they said, okay, well, if you're going to keep attacking us from the West Bank of Gaza, we're going to take those two. So, anywho. Do. Wait, lap dances. I pay more attention to the Twitch chat for a second, and I'm missing out on lap dances over on YouTube. What? Let's see. Where are you? Allie DeFlea, I am in Louisiana. Didn't I mention free lap dances? When did I mention free lap dances? Oh, you, I don't know. Come to Louisiana. We'll talk about it. I don't know if you want one from me. Who knows? Texas Paul does a great breakdown of history of this. I have a series of videos on my channel that does a breakdown of this as well. Let's see. Liberal. How's that spell it right? The problem is that people also live in the past will never come to a solution because they apply last man standing wins. Of course, that was. Why is this not working right? There we go. That's better. That works. You want to sell this show or not? Free lap dances. maybe that'll come on Liberal Dan After Dark. Let's see. Where is Israel and Palestine? Copy link address here is the in the chat for YouTube. Is the link to the, and there it is on Twitch, the link to the Israeli, Israel and Palestine playlist that I've created has 14 videos in it so far. And it's been, it includes a bunch of things that, you know, a bunch of videos that I've created, including a history, a 330,000 foot view of the issues, and also including some other points that I've made on the issue throughout the history of the podcast, or especially since 10-7, since I've been focusing a lot on the issue since 10-7, since 10-7, there's been a lot of people who've been trying to, you know, make it hard for us Jewish folk to be, just live as Jewish people and not have to, you know, We can't set. They don't want to separate Jewishness from Israeli, which kind of sucks. Now, see, seismic. That's kind of anti-Semitic there, because not all Jews, not all Israelis are Jewish, and not all Israelis are from Brooklyn. That's a problematic statement there, seismic. Not all Israelis. Again, you have Israelis who are born in the area. You have Israelis who are Muslim. You have Israelis there are Israeli Muslims who were taken by Hamas. It's not just Jews. So there's that. You also have Israeli Druze. You have Israeli Druze. You have Israeli Christians. You have many, many different types of Israeli citizens who all have full voting rights, who all have the ability to serve in the Knesset, who can all serve on the Supreme Court. There is a Palestinian Israeli who is on the Israeli Supreme Court, which is one of the reasons why I give a little bit of a side eye when people call Israel an apartheid state, because the apartheid state that I knew of, which was South Africa, would have never allowed its black citizens to do any of that sort of thing. But, you know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So, now, you do have, you know, but also Jewish people do have ancestral roots to the Israeli homeland. There's cultural roots there. There's indigeneity arguments to be made there's indigeneity arguments to be made about Jewish people, whether Israel is, whether they have the right to return back to the area, just like there's arguments to be made about Palestinian people having the right to belong there, because there are cultural roots there, there are ethnicity roots there, to whether or not they can return, have a right of return. I've made this argument before, and it's pretty much shut a lot of people down, which is that, let's say you have a Palestinian couple, two people who were born, raised in Palestine, but they now live in America. Let's say they happen to be infertile or whatever. Let's say those two people adopted a child, and that child was Lily White. Lily White, child, no, had tied them at all to that land, but they've now adopted that child. That child, because they're now in that family, regardless of DNA, now has a claim, a familiar claim, and a right of return, because they are now in that family and now has a right of return to that land, because it's through their family. Look, Sizer, you're saying a lot of things that, you know, we agree on when it comes to stuff like, you know, Netanyahu is terrible. I think Netanyahu should be dragged before the Hague. I've been calling for Netanyahu. I've been calling Netanyahu a horrible person since well before 10/7. Like, a lot of people are late to the party on Netanyahu. I've been criticizing Netanyahu for years and years and years. Now I'm a hipster on Netanyahu hate. I hated Netanyahu before it was cool. So don't come at me trying to tell me that Israel has done wrong. I'm fully aware that Israel has done wrong. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Hamas didn't do wrong either. I'm not going to sit here and try and say that, you know, we can't just pretend that other parts of this argument, other parts of the story just don't exist. So, yeah, Netanyahu is Israel's Trump, exactly. Hamas had to know that this awful outcome would be the result. We are not talking about the same people. Telegram videos, the attacks tell you who they're dealing with. Well, sure. Of course, Netanyahu also knew that the attacks were coming. The Netanyahu administration knew that the attacks were coming, and they let it happen anyway, because as I predicted on my podcast, and I'm going to keep beating this dead horse because I was right, I predicted on my podcast that Netanyahu knew about it than not, that it was coming, that the attacks were going to be coming, and it would be better for Netanyahu to let the attacks come than it would be to stop the attacks before they happened, because that way it would give Netanyahu a reason for him to go attack Gaza, a reason for him to do military actions that were above and beyond what he would need to do to stop the attacks, simply because then he could distract from his legal woes that he's dealing with under, you know, all of the issues that he had when he tried to defang the Israeli Supreme Court. So, I mean, yeah, Netanyahu is trash. But yeah, Hamas had to know. But Hamas and Netanyahu have a parasitic, toxic, symbiotic relationship with each other. Netanyahu thrives more because Hamas exists. Hamas thrives more because Netanyahu exists. Hamas can recruit more because they can point at Netanyahu and say, see this horrible person, he's in charge of Israel, and he fear mongers off of us, and he recruits people to come kill us because, you know, he hates us, so therefore we need more people in Hamas to go do our horrible things that we want to do. And then people are like, well, okay. And then Netanyahu goes, see the people Hamas over there? They want to kill us. So you need to pass my policies and give me the authority to go after Hamas so we can attack Gaza, we can do all these bad stuff. He doesn't say bad stuff, but I'm saying bad stuff. So Hamas, Netanyahu's never going to want a complete end of Hamas, and Hamas is never going to want to get rid of Netanyahu out of power. They want each other in power because with each other in power, they complete each other. They are a toxic pairing that thrives off of each other's toxicity. BB is, I don't even want to call him BB. I hate the word BB. It's terrible. Kimchi, Liberal Dan is giving Crystal Ball Sparks a run for his money. Look, I fully, like when Hal talks about stuff and he comes at right, I'm always like, I'm always impressed because I was like, I've never seen a political prognosticator be as right as I've been on certain things. I mean, dead on balls accurate about certain things. Like, I don't like being as right as I am, because usually when I'm right, it's about something horrible. Usually when I'm right, it's about things like Netanyahu knowing about the attacks ahead of time and allowing them to happen. Usually when I'm right, it's about things like Trump getting to nominate 3 Supreme Court justices. When I was right, like, it wasn't even on my podcast, but during 2016, when all the deaths were happening and all the celebrity deaths were going on in 2016, in the middle of the year, I was like, I feel that 2016 is being so terrible because it's preparing us for a Donald Trump presidency. And everyone was like, shut up. And I'm like, I'm just saying. And that's when it happened. So, Allie DeFlea, I like your inclusive blame, Dan. Good point. Thank you. Well, I have one of my videos about the whole Israeli-Palestinian Hamas problem is that ultimately the problem comes down to conservatism over there. It's conservatism. Israeli conservatives like Likud, Netanyahu, and even some of the more even extremist conservatives, like the religious conservatives, push the narrative of how you have the horrible people who are over there who want to kill us, so you need us to protect you. And then the Palestinian conservatives are Hamas. They're the religious conservatives. You need us to protect you from the horrible Israeli government over there who's trying to kill us. And then you have the American conservatives who will go poke the bear and he'll be like, go on, Israel, you're doing great. We love you. And here's money for settlements. And we'll come over there and we'll settle too. And all they care about is, because they're Christian conservatives, all they care about typically is the end times when they need a lot of Jews in Israel to be there so that they could be the first to die. And with friends like that, who needs enemies? But it's all conservatives creating the problems over there. So the way to solve the problem is just to eliminate conservatism over there, and you'll get better results. Human F being, that's what she said, but XI, like the Chinese president Xi. That's amazing. Kimchi, Elizabeth, I called Trump a dictator way before it was cool, but of course no one listened to us, right? Exactly. No one listened to Brandy Lee, Dr. Lee. Kimchi, I like it because it sounds like baby. The only reason I don't like it because it sounds like an attempt to make him sound cute. And I don't like him sounding cute. People need, if there was some way to make him sound like the jackass that he is, fine, give him that nickname. But like, to me, it's like, oh, it's BB. No, it's Netanyahu. Shut up. It's President or Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's been that way for a while. It hadn't been BB for the longest time. And then all of a sudden it magically became BB. And I'm like, no, I'll be a boomer on that one. I'll be a curmudgeon. It hasn't been BB for the longest time. It shouldn't be BB now. So, anywho. What should we do now? Since, you know, we talked about Kavanaugh being threatened. We talked about the Boebert assault. I can't wait for that video to come out. I am so ready for that video to come out. We'll see look, again, as I said in my video last night, if it really turns out that she was just self-defense and her ex-husband was being overly threatening or overly touchy-feely or wouldn't leave her alone, fine. She has every right to defend herself. I don't care that I disagree with her politically. She has every right to defend herself, and she should very well have defended herself, and he should leave his hand to himself, because we all know he has a problem with that anyway, right? Because, you know, of what he pled guilty to. But if it comes out that there's another video showing that she was beating off another man in public, then, you know, talked about Landry, talked about Saints sports stuff, we did Joe Biden reaction. Maybe we should do another it'll be interesting if I do a reaction video to toxic masculinity. Because if we do one of those, that might be interesting simply because we have somebody who might agree with some of the stuff said in the videos involved in one of the, in the chat. So we'll see. Let's see what this video is first before we move on to anything. Is Bobo okay? I don't know if Bobo... I mean, she's the one that got hit. Jason Bobo is still Bobo. He claims he doesn't want to press charges, but... First, he doesn't want to press charges, but I don't know. We'll see. Let's see, is Trump going to Supreme Court tomorrow? Why would Trump go to Supreme Court tomorrow? What's going on at Supreme Court tomorrow? I don't know. Ugh, Ekbok Times. Yicky. Anywho, so let's... This is about a 10-minute video. Hold on. But this is going to be interesting. This is going to be absolutely interesting because normally we have like either normally we've done the whatever podcast or we've done the Fresh and Fit podcast with Marlon or we've done Pick Me Pearl. Oh, tomorrow's the appellate court. Interesting. Wait. Yeah, tomorrow's the appellate court. So tomorrow is, and he doesn't have to go there. If he goes there, it'll just be just to go there, just to show up and be stupid. You know, he'll probably make a scene or whatever, but we'll see what happens. Let's see. Let's go to the alternate view and let's bring this, I guess, down over here. Since it's in the middle of the screen and that's the best place to put it, or do we put me in the middle of the screen and then put the Venmo over on the other, on over here, and then maybe put this right here? I don't know. I may put this up here and this over here. I don't know. Anyway, so this is interesting. Guys, coffee, first time chat. Yo, what's this stream about? Any political updates and news? Is Donald Trump running? Donald Trump is running. I don't know if Donald Trump, I don't think, well, Donald Trump, yes, Donald Trump is running. Clearly he's running. Is he going to win? I don't know. I hope not. How's his campaigns? Currently he's leading his primary campaigns against all of his wannabe opponents because the Republican Party is in love with Donald Trump. At least the voters in the polls are. We're going to see how the primaries go, and we'll cover those primaries as they come across. This show, we talked a little bit about other stuff, mostly. How many court dates does Biden have this week? None. Why would you vote for Trump, for sure, if you're Swedish? What about Donald Trump interests you, Coffee 404? Coffee not found. Is it Coffee 404 or Covfefe 404? That's an interesting question. Please remember to follow the channel, though. If you're interested in politics, please make sure to follow the channel. Let's see. Kimchi, what's with the war book? What's with all the war books? Not Alpha, not the Alpha Flex he thinks it is. Because, I mean, I wouldn't think that Donald Trump would have any books except for, you know, crayons. Like ones you could do with Crayola, I guess. I don't know. Anywho. But, well, I guess while we're waiting for the answers, Cynthia, running out of luck. Same number of his impeachments, zero. He has a corporate interest with business-based point of view into economics and regulations. Here's the problem with that. If Donald Trump, and Hal Sparks talked about this earlier on his show, but it's a fact that I've also cited before. If Donald Trump had simply taken the money that he inherited or gotten from his dad and just put it in a hedge fund, he would have, hey, Seismic, that's something we can both agree on. Most Trump voters are racist. There you go. If he would have taken his money and he would have put it into a hedge fund and just let it sit there, he would have made more money than he would have on his businesses. He made less money on his businesses than he would have had he just stuck it in a hedge fund and let it be just that. So there's that issue. Donald Trump's interest in regulations is to reduce the number of regulations on his own businesses. That's his interest on economics and regulations. And we've talked about a little bit on the show before about his economic policies. I mean, one of the things he did in the United States that screwed over the United States, potentially the world, was when he negotiated in 2020 a deal with OPEC and Russia, because OPEC and Russia were in a price war when it came to oil, because the supply was high and demand during the pandemic was low and it was killing oil prices. So he negotiated a deal with OPEC and Russia to artificially reduce output to make sure that supply was artificially reduced so that the price would stabilize. But and in doing so, he made this deal so that the output would be reduced well into 2022. And when he did so, he didn't take into consideration a need for increased output if demand would start increasing. So he had this agreement that kept decreased output of oil into 2022. Meanwhile, we started coming out of the pandemic in 2021, and so demand skyrocketed while supply stayed the same under Donald Trump's so-called wonderful art of the deal. And guess what happened? Oil prices skyrocketed, which means gas prices skyrocketed, which means all of us paid even more at the pump than we should have because of Donald Trump's boneheaded deal. So, let's see, dude bankrupted multiple casinos. And part of it is that I would say that probably a lot of the bankruptcies that Donald Trump did was probably to benefit himself. Like he probably took the businesses, ran up a bunch of money, and then tried to cash out of the businesses before dumping them. So, I don't know if you live in Sweden how Donald Trump being the American president is going to help you start building your own company right now. You could build your own company right now. I'm building, this is my liberal band as a LLC right now, and I'm building this, and I was not successful in building liberal band radio during the Trump administration, but now that we're in the Biden administration, I have just become a partner on YouTube. I am 30 followers away and a few streams away from becoming a partner on Twitch, and an affiliate, I guess, on Twitch. And I'm trying to grow that. Well, my business is an LLC, so any income is pass-through income, so it's considered income as personal income since I am a single holder or whatever. Actually, technically, my wife is also a partner in that. But since me and my wife own the LLC, it passes through as income to our personal income, and that's how it's taxed. It's taxed through that way. But we do pay business taxes on it. I guess there is a business tax or that comes in on the tax forms as well. So yes, we do pay taxes on our business. That's the short answer. But there you go. But I have become, but on my personal life, on the personal side, I am also more successful on my main job than I was under Trump. I'm making more money on my regular job. My salary and my position that I have now is better than it ever was under Donald Trump. So in Sweden, if you earn less than $10,000 while having a registered business, it's tax-free. Well, it's cool. I mean, I don't think that would ever be the case under Trump, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. I don't have the Trump thing open, so I can't click it. Let's see. Let's check back the YouTube chat. Now I'm having to follow. Actually, I don't have to follow that. I have this thing I could look at. Coffee, what's pump and dump? What are you talking about with pump and dump? I don't know what you're talking about pump and dump. Let's see, Nielsen or Argueta. Do you think Trump did it because he knew he was going to lose to damage the Democrats' years? I have posited that, yes. I have suggested that it's possible that Donald Trump knew at the time when he made the deal that he probably saw internal polling numbers as bad, that he probably knew he was going to lose, and that if he knew that his polling numbers were that bad and he knew that he was going to lose, that what he could do is that he could set up Biden to fail and as such harm Biden and with increasingly horrible gas prices, which he knew people would blame Biden for because not enough people currently watch Liberal Dan Radio to see through his BS. But yes, that is an opinion of mine that I believe should be looked into more deeply. I would love to hear from anybody who was internal on his campaign to know if there was internal campaign polling showing that he was losing around maybe April-ish of 2020, maybe a little whatever that, or maybe it was June, whenever that deal was made. I would love to know what the internal polling said of the campaign at that time. Pump and dump is what a breastfeeding mother does after a night of drinking. Nice. Tim Farrell, Trump Library is going to have a collection of family finger paintings. I thought it was just going to be all coloring books. Oh, Don, what is your regular job? I am a software developer. I do software development during my full-time position. Technically, I manage two at this point, so I deal with also external vendors or external consultants that we get to do work for the company that I work for. Plus, I do have another consultant under me who also works part-time, so I kind of manage him on top of managing the consultants. But I don't necessarily feel that managerial, even though my status is technically a manager where I work. So, orange crayons, yes. Everything in the Donald Trump library will be a coloring book, but it will be all orange crayons, nothing else. I have the best crayons. Nobody has better crayons. Coffee, I know what a pump and dump is. I'm just trying to wonder what you were saying a pump and dump is. Like what you were trying to say was a pump and dump in the chat. Like why you brought up pump and dump. Coffee, no. At the moment, streaming isn't my full-time job. I do two streams a week. Mondays and Wednesdays on this channel. For Liberal Dan Radio, I also have twitch.tv/nerdydan.com, and I do that Tuesday nights for gaming and stuff. I would love for streaming to be my full-time job, but I am not anywhere near that yet. So we'll get there at some point, maybe. We'll see. I needed to hit partner first on YouTube, so that was the first goal. We hit that goal. That like the 30th of maybe the 29th or 30th of, or maybe it was the 28th. I think it was the 28th or the morning of the 29th of December is when I finally hit that goal. Thanks to all my wonderful listeners and watchers and viewers or whatever on YouTube. And then starting the 1st is when we're starting to push to become a Twitch affiliate. If things continue to go the way that they're going, we'll hit Twitch affiliate by the end of the month, as long as I can get 30 more followers. Hey, Andrea, what's going on? Good to see you over there on YouTube. We'll get to the Twitch affiliate, assuming we get to the 30 more followers. We'll get there by the end of this month. And then there we go. So, and then we'll work on other things to do to make the podcast even better and better and better. So here's hoping. But since becoming a partner, I think we've had even more like action or views, so which seems to be good. So yay! Anywho, wow, we've talked a lot. Since now we're at 2 hours and 42 minutes in. Anyway, let us go. We're gonna do this. Stream. We're going to do this reaction video real quick. Again, one of the things I do on the channel, I have a video series called Unraveling Toxic Masculinity, where we go over certain podcasts and we kind of talk about what they have to say. And normally, that's the books you were talking about, the war books. Okay, I see now. So one of the things that I do is I go over these videos and either we'll usually respond to the whatever podcast or to the a podcast with Myron Fresh and Fit, or we'll go over Pick Me Pearl's videos. But in this case, Pick Me Pearl is on the whatever podcast, so we get a 2-for-1. So since we are here and we have the Pearl podcast and we have 20 minutes left, let's just end the show dealing with these shenanigans and we'll see what they have. I haven't watched this video yet, so I don't know. But since it was Pearl and whatever, I'm like, let's give it a shot, since apparently she's humbling undateable feminists. So let's see how Pearl humbles so-called undateable feminists. A very small pool of men get a bunch of the attention. That is so full of crap. There are plenty of men who date. There are plenty of men who have relationships. There's not a very small pool of men who get all the attention. Now, there are probably a small pool of men who get a lot of attention because they're, you know, wealthy and famous or whatever, and maybe they're attractive. And sure, they get a lot of attention, but that doesn't mean that a large group of other men don't also get attention or don't also have success dating, which is what, you know, these manipulators are trying to make you think that they don't. They're trying to make you think that everybody is an incel if you're not part of that big group. Women are not the gatekeepers of sex, or the only reason why women are the gatekeepers of sex is because, as I've said before, men are sluts. It's because men are constantly throwing themselves at women, trying to like, you know, looking at the Tinder thing, just swiping on many profiles. If you constantly are the one supplying the sex, I want to have sex over and over and over and over and over again, then the women are going to be the ones, if you're considering it just a simple heteronormative, cis-normative situation, which they're going to be the ones looking at a heteronormative, cis-normative situation. So we're going to use the language that they're using. If the men are going to be the ones that are constantly throwing themselves at the women and constantly chasing the women over and over and over again, then yes, the women are going to be the ones saying yes or no, because the men are constantly chasing and or harassing and or whatever the women. So they're forcing them into that role of being the, quote, gatekeepers of sex. If the men would stop being such sluts and would instead not consistently try and throw themselves at all of these other people, then maybe the situation would be much different. But because it's not, that's the way the situation is. Men created the situation that they're complaining about. Maybe it's discouraging and extremely lonely because you're not approaching people in the right way. Maybe it's discouraging and extremely lonely because you're considering women as only vessels for your sexual pleasure and release, and not considering women as people who you can have conversations and friendships with above and beyond, people who might spread their legs for you. Again, you hold the yes and the no's because men created the situation where you're holding the power of the yes and the no's because men are constantly throwing themselves at you. There are situations where if a guy acts aloof and nonchalant and doesn't act like they're interested, then women go after them, and then men are the ones that say yes or no. Because they are the ones who are, because they act like, you know, well, I don't mean it. And then if when they act like that, then the women go after them. And then the men become the people who say yes or no. Because that's how it works. If you're somebody who's constantly throwing themselves at somebody, then yeah, you're not giving the other people the opportunity to ask you for it if you're always the one asking them. You're creating the situation that you're complaining about. Oh, boo-hoo, the poor men who harass women all the time and then complain because they're alone, because they don't take the time to treat women like they're, you know, they're equals and that, you know, they're worthy of things other than, you know, their boners. Well, I mean, because that's what the guys who are watching these videos or watching the whatever podcast, watching the Fresh and Fit podcast, whatever, that's what they're looking for. They're only looking for the top looks of women because that's what they're saying that people want, and as such, they're only going to look at the trivial. I'm in the middle, man. I'm not left or right, man. Okay, whatever. Okay, I can agree with that because a lot of times this show will have non-traditional men wanting traditional women. Ridiculous. Let's skip the super chat. Let's see, Wonder Mom, men want Betty Crocker in the kitchen and a whore in the bedroom. I mean, I don't necessarily need Betty Crocker in the kitchen, but I mean, I'll cook in the kitchen too. I make some pretty damn good things in the kitchen. I actually want an equal partner in all things. And, you know, I'll be quite the whore in the bedroom too. You know, hey, both of us should be. We should both be willing participants to have mutual pleasure in all aspects of our lives. Let's just put it that way. Here's the thing, Pearl hadn't even chimed up yet, and I mean, I'm sure I know what Pearl's thinking about, but let's see what Pearl's thinking about. But I mean, most people like actually don't even care if their person is a virgin or not. That's the thing. It's this artificial boundary that these incel, MGTOW pandering people have created is that, oh, having a virgin is a good thing. Who the frick cares? Except for these people who are losers who like, you know, the Fresh and Fit guy and these guys are like, oh, we want a virgin. Funny, I've always been a big fat guy and I've had no problems dating, but let's continue. And I've dated some pretty attractive people. Let's continue. Let's repeat that again. Hold on. That is one of those things where they take these they take these arguments, right? They take these stats, and they mix correlation and causation. So somebody who has more sexual partners is, and they say that those people are also less likely to be married longer. Well, maybe it's not that they're less likely to be married longer because they have more sexual partners. Maybe it's the fact that their open-mindedness and that allows them to have more sexual partners also allows them to reject certain other societal norms, like, you know, these purity culture BS stuff that allows them to reject things like, oh, you should also stay in a marriage that's toxic. Like somebody who waited to marriage and remained a virgin till marriage because their religion and their parents and everything told them to wait till marriage. One of those people are going to sit there. Those people are probably, you know, being bamboozled by their religious beliefs to then stay in an abusive marriage because they're told that that's the right thing to do, to stay in a toxic and abusive marriage. Meanwhile, somebody who's willing to, you know, play around a little bit and have fun in their personal lives might reject the idea that one should stay in an abusive marriage, and as such would be more likely to leave. It has nothing to do with the fact that they had sex, has many sexual partners. You might have somebody who rejects those religious beliefs and has fewer sexual partners. You might have somebody who rejects those beliefs and has much more sexual partners. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm sure, you know, body counts are relevant to both me and my spouse, but, you know, we've been married much longer than that, and, you know, we're beyond that. Let's just put it that way. It's a human being. I have to wonder if people with high body counts are doing it right. Why won't their partner stay with them that long? Well, it's not even a matter of that. It's just when you're young, you have fun. Now, I when I was younger, I was never somebody who really looked to have one-night stands, for example, simply because of the fact if I liked you enough to have sex with you once, why wouldn't I want to have sex with you again as long as the sex was good? But, you know, that didn't necessarily prevent it from happening. Like, I remember one person I hooked up with back in college. She was leaving the country in a week. Oh, well. One person I hooked up with in college, she went back to her boyfriend. Oh, well. Now, it happens. So sometimes you end up having, you know, flings, and flings are fine. It's fine to have a fling. It's fine to be flung. Being flung is perfectly fine, and I don't judge people for being flung. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite and judge if you're a woman who's been flung or a man who's been flung or a non-binary person who's been flung. Fling away. Let's continue. What the hell is going on with that one in the back with the hat? And that's another thing. Like, if you wait till marriage, you don't know. That's one of the reasons why I've posited previously with, like, the Myron people especially. Like, they want somebody who's inexperienced and specifically, preferably a virgin, because they want somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, doesn't know what they're doing in the bedroom, because they want to be able to go in and give their, you know, two pumps and let them think that that's the best thing ever. Because if they hook up with somebody, if they marry somebody who has had 4, 5, 6, 7 partners, that individual might know that what they're bringing in the bedroom isn't any good and might not stay. So that's why they want people with low body counts or no body count, because they're thinking, well, they don't know any better, so I don't have to be any good in the bedroom. As the one person said, if they have more experience, they might know that this individual might not be any good, and therefore they might not want to stay with that person. only 50% of people admitted to it. Well, they only admitted to it because they would be shunned and shamed for admitting to it. I'm sure the amount of people back then, 100 years ago, who actually had premarital sex was probably much higher than 15%. That being said, we also lived in different times back then. And 100 years ago, you would get married at, what, at 13, 14, 15, and you might only get married to one person, and you couldn't get divorced because if you were married, because once you moved on from your parents' house to your spouse's house, and if that spouse abused you, what could you do? You couldn't have your own credit, well, there's no credit cards, but you couldn't have your own checking account. You couldn't work. You couldn't do anything on your own because we lived in a society where it was man-driven completely, and there was no way that you could just divorce your husband and expect to be fine. So we lived in a society that where once the woman moved on and lived with her husband, that there was no way that that person could then leave. So yes, life was different 100 years ago. Shocking. I mean, there are plenty of relationships today that are working. I'll look at mine. I mean, I know anecdotal evidence isn't proof, but my relationship's wonderful. Neither of us were virgins on our wedding night. It had nothing to do with anything. It's irrelevant to the conversation. They're trying to force that into the conversation because they think somehow it's relevant. It's not relevant. I wasn't afraid of getting married. I mean, I looked at what my parents did and said, okay, that's what not to do. You learn a lesson. I learned a lesson of what not to do. Thank you, a smart person on the panel. There you go, smart person, agreeing with me, making you a smart person. And we're hearing the seconds tick off because it's the end of the Blog Talk Radio stream, so that's almost over, but we're going to go past the Blog Talk Radio stream. Wait, who said someone with a guy with a high body count is counted as high risk of steroids? That symptoms with their relationship, like what? I don't understand that point. What outcomes? This, of course, are going to be artificially manufactured outcomes of Pearl. Pick me, Pearl. One of three women have an abortion. That's not a necessarily a good or a bad thing, but one of three women have an STD. I mean, I'm sure there are women back then who had STDs too, but you know, just didn't say anything about it. But there were more prevalent STDs now, but we also have medication that helps to cure them. So that's a good thing if they want to be on contraceptives. Who cares? What is wrong with being on contraceptives? And sometimes people are on contraceptives for nothing to do with contraception. Sometimes people are on contraceptives because they need to regulate their period for other reasons. Sometimes they're on contraceptives because it helps deal with issues with their uterus, like they're like cramping or swelling or other issues that can be treated with the hormones that come into contraception. It does. Sometimes you have to be on contraceptions if you're on contraceptives. Like I had an ex-girlfriend who was on Accutane, and you had to be on birth control if you are on Accutane, you had to be because if you, like, got pregnant anyway on Accutane, you're going to have little alien-looking babies. So they required you to be on birth control when you were on Accutane. It was just a policy. They would not prescribe it for you unless you were on birth control. Maybe women are on antidepressants more than ever before because we have maybe a better system of healthcare system, the mental health system. And look, our mental health care system sucks. But maybe we have a better mental health care system that has enabled people to have conversations with their mental health care providers to get the help that they need. Maybe they needed the medicine before and couldn't get them. So just because they're on, and I don't know if even her data is correct, but maybe the fact that they're on the medicine that they need is a good thing. Like, the fact that they're on the medicine doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong. Maybe that they're getting help that they need is a good thing. Maybe that they weren't able to get the help that they needed before was the problem. I can agree with something that Pearl said. We should be able to have a conversation. I've said this about the Israel conversation. I've said this about lots of things. We should be able to have a conversation about one thing without being able to do but the other thing. Yes. Fine. Perfect. Well, if your body count goes up, you're more likely to encounter partners, which means you're more likely to catch an STD. But many of the STDs, I mean, can be cured with penicillin. I mean, so that being said, I'm not aware that of all the STD tests that I've ever taken, none. So take that as you will. All right, so, hold on. Anyway, so that is the end of that video. I don't see how Pearl humbled anybody in that video. What? I mean, maybe you see it, I don't know. I don't see how Pearl humbled anybody in that video whatsoever. It doesn't make any sense at all. Like to me, she just rambled on her basic old BS, and nothing new was learned from her. But again, it's just this idea that somehow you are better off in the oldie days, and you're not. There are many reasons why we're better off today. There are many reasons why it's better to have this situation that we have now than it is before. And yeah, women are more likely people are more likely to be able to have sex now than they are before. And sure, maybe people's body counts are higher, but that's not a bad thing because, you know, and the idea that somehow it makes somebody less valuable just makes me judge your idea of what a valuable person is. If that's what you value, then you have a big issue with you have a big problem with your life, and you have a big problem just how you judge people altogether. And again, this whole argument over whether or not people are, you know, you know, the gatekeepers of sex. That whole argument is such bull. It's such bull. The only reason why women are the quote gatekeepers of sex is because men are sluts and they throw themselves at women all the time. If they would stop throwing themselves at women all the time, they would equal the playing field, because then if a woman was interested, they would come after the guy that they were interested in. Simple as that. Let's go to some of the, comments, and there are comments that are interesting. Aaron, it's fine to be flung, liberal Dan. Maybe that'll stick. This is where adultery comes in. Wait till marriage and find out that they suck, not in a good way, in bed. I mean, there's that too. There's something to be said about, you know, making sure that there is a sexual compatibility between partners before you tie the knot. There's that. Let's see. Japanese have a term called a Christmas cake. After age 30, women are no longer viable for marriage. That's kind of odd. But I mean, my wife and I both were after 30 when we got married, so I seem to debunk that whole idea whatsoever. I say, if you're worried about body count, find a partner who is equally concerned. Why does everyone have to agree with their view? That's also true. Like, it's whole thing about, you know, the people who are concerned about whether or not their sexual partner is going to have an abortion with a kid created from the act of sex that they have. If you're that concerned about whether or not your partner is going to have an abortion, make sure before you have sex that your partner is pro-life. And then with the understanding that your partner can always change their mind. These people are too blonde to commit to a long-term relationship. I'm not exactly sure what Ali DeFlee was saying. It's not entirely true. I missed that as to what I was not saying that was entirely true. Who is that silly girl in the back? There's always that one with the hat is always in those videos. I'm surprised we didn't see the sex doll as well. Birth control gave women freedom to play the field. Mr. Wright had to attain a super high standard ever since. I don't think it's a super high standard ever since. I mean, the birth control was first. What's up, Elijah? Always lost. Good to see you. Please remember to follow. We're ending the show kind of soon, but, you know, thank you for joining. We'll see. Birth control was initially first given, at least it was first initially legalized with Griswold v. Connecticut. It was first legalized nationwide by the Supreme Court to give couples the ability to stop having kids when they wanted to. It was first legalized for couples. So it basically, that's what Griswold v. Connecticut did. It wasn't about individual single people having the right for birth control. It was about couples. It was a later ruling that allowed everybody to have access to oral contraception. At that point, you know, yes, people did have the right to then be able to obtain birth control pills and to be able to then get, be able to have sex without the risk and worry of getting pregnant. That doesn't necessarily mean that somebody raised their standards as they now were able to have more partners. It just meant that women could have more fun without necessarily having the risk or whatever. There was less of a risk of an unwanted pregnancy. So, Chris, I got to try all shapes and sizes. Woohoo! Way to go, Chris. Maybe that would be a good topic for if we ever get Liberal Dan After Dark. More shapes, more sizes, more gooder, right? See, STDs are the price of playing the field if you enjoy the game. See, I've never had to ring a limit anything. Let's see. Plus, the other question is, do you have compatible sex drives? Yes, reminds me of the man's definition of a dreams woman, the nymphomaniac who owns a liquor store, LOL. Jeff Curry, who takes STD tests. There are plenty of people who take STD tests. I mean, there are people who are single who take STD tests who want to make sure. I mean, when I was in college, I took a few, but just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, not having anything that I could pass on to anybody else. There are people who are in certain lifestyles who take STD tests to make sure that they're not passing on sexually transmitted diseases to multiple partners that they participate in, et cetera. St. Nielsen, I see some really ugly dudes have some beautiful partners. I mean, my wife, I always say that I married up when it comes to Kathy. I mean, my wife is definitely, I mean, that person who I talked about earlier who says there's a difference between doing something and accomplishing something always says that I outkicked my coverage. I mean, I've throughout my life, I've always dated people who are, I think probably people would look at us and be like, that person is out of his league. But that's because of the fact that I, you know, treat people with, you know, dignity and respect, and I actually, you know, take the time to just, you know, talk to people, and, you know, humor goes a long way too. Being funny goes a long way. Elizabeth, marriage isn't solely for procreation. That is also true. See, Buck versus Bell, Griswold, Roe, all settled rights on privacy. Well, Roe is no longer settled, unfortunately. Is it Buck versus Bell, the one that I was thinking of? What was Buck versus Bell? Sterilization of inmates. But there was another one, right to contraception for everyone ruling. Eisenstadt versus Baird is the one in 72 that gave everybody the right to have the constitutional rights of privacy that encompasses the right of everybody else to have contraception. Griswold versus Connecticut was the right of married people to get it. So you're saying you are funny? Funny enough, at least. I mean, that's up to you. Funny is subjective, I suppose. So, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I'm funny, but
it is what it is.
Hey, my liberal Dan Chopper City ad made Hal Sparks laugh. So if I could make Hal Sparks laugh with one of my bits, I consider myself funny enough, right? Anyway, so I think that is about it for today. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate you. I want to thank everybody who, for some reason, viewer activity is not showing any activity for some silly reason, so I can't thank all of the people. I know Jackie gave some more memberships. I know Aaron gave a super chat. So, anywho, but anybody else who did give super chats and everything like that, thank you very much for all of that. I appreciate the support. Everybody who... our new followers over on Twitch, thank you very much for that as well. Everybody who has participated tonight on both streams, you are very much helping the show. I appreciate it. I'll be on again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. probably Central for twitch.tv/nerdydan.com. And then I will also be on... Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central here, liberaldanradio.com, which brings you to the YouTube channel, or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. Get your friends to come follow me on Twitch. I'm trying to get that 50 followers. Once I get there, I become a Twitch affiliate there, which would be awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you all so very much. I appreciate y'all more than you know. Thank you very much, and y'all have a great rest of your night. Peace.